The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, the power hour has arrived. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's Juan. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program brought to you by K's, 1013 Cass Avenue in Woonsocket. You can call them at 762-9675, whether it's lunch or dinner. The menu, it's right when you open up the napkin. They also have a great lounge, K's, right across from CVS, 1013 Cass Avenue in Woonsocket. Want to say good afternoon to all enjoying the program on Facebook Live. Facebook Live, just go to John DePietro Show on Facebook, click the like button. Facebook Live brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com, EliteWirelessRI.com. Carrie's our producer. And don't forget, you also, folks, on the page have the visitors' posts where you can post various things. It's a Monday, and that means it's a political Monday. Joining us right now, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Hello, John. Good to be with you.
Justin, I want to start off with, this is something that they have been waiting for at the State House. It's a new form of revenue. It doesn't solve the spending problem they have up there, but the Supreme Court basically ruled that sports betting will be allowed. And Governor Mundo had bet on this. You know, you can make a lot of arguments where you just wonder about the finances of the state. You know, they announce a $130 million surplus, which obviously shows that they're actually taxing people too much. On top of that, you really question, do we really need the tolls with this? And now, of course, it's like a party up on Smith Hill because online sports betting, and they are more than ready to kick this in motion and try to take advantage of it as quickly as possible. Again, not really economic development, really not high-paying jobs, certainly not putting people to work, but on Smith Hill, it's all just about another source of revenue.
Oh, yeah, and it always seems to go right to spending. You never hear them say, well, we've got this influx of, say, income tax that we didn't expect, probably due to federal tax reform, so let's cut our tax rate, and we get the same revenue with less of a rate, or, you know, cut the sales tax and rate and turn some of that increased revenue into increased economic activity. It never quite works like that. It's here's how we can solve those problems where we were going to have to start compromising our paid and bought constituencies and special interests. Now we can please them a little bit more, thankfully. It's the mindset up there. And it's really a shame because that's really, you know, there are opportunities when you get windfall money or new opportunities for revenue. And we never seem to capitalize on it.
They don't. And I remember going way back when they had the tobacco settlement money, and that was an opportunity, a big windfall of money, and they could have put up some kind of, something very long withstanding or something with health. Instead, boom, they took the tobacco money, they plow it into the general fund, and the spending goes on. The problem to me is one of those things is, you know, the Republican candidates are being criticized in talking about lowering the sales tax, you know, to 5%, try to make us far more competitive with Connecticut and Massachusetts. And all they say in Smith Hill is, well, where would you cut? Well, here's an opportunity now with this influx of money and revenue where you could cut and start to experiment with that, or certainly at the very least, when you're talking about $130 million extra, Justin, to me, boom, there is, in fact, your sales tax holiday that they could kick into motion maybe the last weekend before the 4th of July or something like that, and you have that money built in and don't have to worry about losing the sales tax for that weekend. It'd be great for the Rhode Island businesses. Nothing ever, I mean, you tell me, but I never hear anyone talk about what would make sense for local businesses. It's all just about funding all these projects and funding and keeping the gravy train rolling.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's never the mindset to try to lower taxes. It's always, I mean, when the Center for Freedom of Prosperity was trying to eliminate or drastically reduce the sales tax a few years ago, even people who supposedly represented the business community would go to the commission studying a topic and say things like, it would be a crime to put all that money under risk. And it's just not, it's not the way they think. And when it comes down to it, they don't see this as a windfall. They see it as, if money comes in that they could use for more spending and buying off voters, then that's what, that's, if you take that money for tax cuts or any other kind of activity, you are cutting the budget. The budget is always the maximum that they can get. And anything that you do to reduce that maximum is considered a cut. They don't see, they don't look in terms of investment. If they look in terms of investment, it's to pay off some, a video game company or a baseball team or some other big, or some GE or some other company. If we can pay you off and get you to be reliant on us for a special deal, then you're not, you're getting a tax break, but it's really just the way we gave you a handout. And that's how government operates around here. And there are no signs that that is changing, even with this large sum of money supposedly coming in from higher economic activity nationwide.
We are right now coming towards, we're mid-May. It's May 14th. Justin, we know the governor is sitting on over $4 million, on our way to $5 million. We've yet to see any type of campaign by Governor Gina Raimondo. What are you hearing and what do you make of that?
Well, I'm hearing very little. Some of it, I wonder, we've been discussing for a while how the likelihood is her money will go to ground game rather than publicly visible promotions. And you can see why. I mean, the circumstances are making it really pretty important for her to control her message. In the past week, I think it was, some bureaucrats from the state were being grilled by a House committee in the State House about over UHIP and the problems they're having there, to the point where one representative, I think Knight, suggested, hey, if you're having trouble keeping track of your applications, why don't you put a box in the corner and you can throw them in the box? And I mean, it's a little bit of a silly suggestion considering how many applications they get and how thick they are, but it kind of shows you what kind of feedback she might get if she were to do a live interview or just be out there really promoting her message. That's the feedback that might be gotten, and that's not something they want, particularly at this point. And I think that's probably an indication that we'll see a limited number of debates and that sort of thing, because there are a lot of landmines out there, just as there are with the introduction of Matt Brown as a dynamic in the race with the progressives. If the governor were to make a statement that rubbed some constituency wrong, she could maybe rub the unions wrong or the progressives wrong or even whoever in the business community still kind of supports her management. All of she needs to balance all of these people, especially with such a low approval rating. She doesn't have much margin to lose. She can't sacrifice anybody who currently supports her. So the less she can say beyond happy talk, probably the better. I mean, that would seem to be their approach at this time.
You know, it's interesting. I believe, and folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. It's Political Monday. We speak with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. You know, Justin, I believe that you and I are ahead of the curve on how we're discussing this campaign, because I tuned in, and Hummel does a good job with Lively Experiment, but I saw more of this business of, oh, well, you know, there's people are going to see hotels being built downtown, and she's going to be running all these positive commercials. And again, they had on that Horowitz political Democrat consultant saying, oh, well, you know, people just need to realize what a great job she's doing, and then it'll turn around. Now, I learned from a solid Democrat source that as we speak right now, Governor Raimondo has 30 paid canvassers on the ground, 30 bilingual. That will only increase as things go on. There's another campaign I spoke with. They have 4 canvassers paid on the ground. But Raimondo, Team Raimondo, Justin, 30 paid canvassers now in mid-May. I believe that the old way of you run a bunch of commercials, and you and I have talked about this, people don't watch television the way they used to. The way, you know, you turn on the news on Channel 10 or Channel 12, be filled with television commercials. People are not watching TV that way. That the new way is, it's a sophisticated ground game. You do not hope that your message resonates and that you get out, the people, you know, come out and vote on election day. They are identifying every possible voter. And much like you and I have talked about what Dawn Hoyer did in Newport, had that one super notary that went out and collected 230 ballots. Now, that was one individual, and she started doing that in late June and did it in July, and then the primary was in August. Raimondo has 30 people out there acting in that capacity now in May, and that number will only increase. I don't think people understand how they are approaching this election. I believe the Raimondo people know, but like I said, I want to get your thought, but I think people that think you just run some ads and then hope, well, we'll keep our fingers crossed on election day. This is the Raimondo people. You know, Mattiello gave us the tip-off back in November 16 of, oh, no, I won by 500 votes. I already know all the mail ballots. This is, what is the point of running such a risk when you can instead, I don't want to say a rig game, but just why wait till election day and hope people go to the polls when instead have this thing basically settled by election day?
Well, first, by way of a correction, I heard the Speaker of the House the other day say he wasn't talking about mail ballots. It was because he knew his cousin's son was away at college, and so he knew those mail ballots were coming in, and hey, he figured that if it's his cousin's son, he's going to vote for him, right? That was the extent of his knowledge, according to the Speaker, if you believe it. But the thing of it is that the super canvassers, and I love that idea that, you know, like Iron Man, and now Raimondo's got 30 of them. It's like when
30.
Iron Man makes all every kind
30
of
30 paid yeah. by all bilingual, by the way.
Yeah, out there canvassing for her. That is very expensive. And so that gets back to this issue of her having all this money, and with the Speaker, you get back to a Speaker of the House running for a regular seat as a representative, which could be a few thousand dollar campaign in a normal world, having hundreds of thousands of dollars to blow canvassing a couple neighborhoods essentially. That's the real concern here, is that this is a very, very likely, or there are a lot of mechanisms, especially with early voting and mail ballots and what have you, to really just buy votes. And when you can go around the country gathering up millions of dollars, as the governor has done, it gives you that leeway. And so I think that's going to be, I think unfortunately we're going to see a lot of that. I suspect we'll get wind with that many people in the field. There will be more opportunities for stories about it and for people to find out about it and ask questions. And that becomes unfortunate because people start to have doubts in your electoral system. I mean, we've had two governors in a row in multi-person races without a majority vote getting the governor in office. That's bad enough when people start to feel like they can't get somebody who actually represents a majority of the people in the state. But then you start throwing in this idea that you go out and you get a lot of money and send the people out with ballots just to go actually pick up the vote and
yes.
bring it back.
Yep.
That really, I mean, Rhode Islanders are pretty cynical as it is, with real good reason in Rhode Island. And if that's where our elections are going, it might get the governor another term, but I think it's going to be very, very bad for our long-term political scene here.
I think that's where the election is going, and I think they realize that's the only way that they're going to win. Because otherwise, I mean, we've never heard of that. They have the money to do it. They're going to have the manpower to do it. If they're already doing this in May, what is it going to be like when you then start to come into September, October? Now, when you talk about Matt Brown, and there's an email he sent out, Matt Brown for governor, pretty decent colors and so forth, proposing bold new ways of doing things, fundamentally shift the power. Those with the power right now, Wall Street investors, global corporations, big political donors. So he's having, join us May 14th, 6 o'clock, Southside Cultural Center, Broad Street, Providence. Major organizing meeting to kick off the campaign. Share more about my vision for the state, along with Maggie Kane, who I'm unfamiliar with, Our Revolution RI. Now, this is interesting. Janine Culkin, State Senator, District 30. That's the senator in Warwick, High Progressive. And Marilyn Conception, former RI City Year Core member, of which he had started. But what I find about the Matt Brown thing is that Jeannie Culkin, Justin, she is the big progressive in Warwick. And it's significant that not only does he have, that I'm seeing, the first elected progressive rep with him, but he has a female progressive rep with him that's going to be at his kickoff announcement.
Well, every indication is that the progressives in Rhode Island feel empowered and with some reason. You had we've gotten to the point where Regenberg, running for lieutenant governor, has his competitor, Lieutenant Governor McKee, you know, going after the conservative groups that are going after Regenberg. So there's clearly a lot of leverage, at least perceived among progressives. So it's not that surprising that a overt progressive would be able to find one of the representatives to come out and support him. That's going to be the interesting dynamic of the Democrat primary, is seeing how firmly the governor is able to keep the progressives in hand. I think ultimately they'll go to her, and however much Matt Brown may take a little bit of her vote in the primaries. But it's definitely a moment where I would expect the progressives are probably trying to use the Matt Brown candidacy as another show of force to try to improve their hand in the legislature. So that is probably just an early indication. In fact, I'd be surprised if we don't. I'm a little surprised there aren't a lot more vocally supportive people. Although that just might indicate that the insiders still have a lot of power in Rhode Island, and the progressives aren't quite ready to go after that.
It's got to start with someone, but it is a female, you know. And with the Raimondo camp, every woman should be with Gina because she's a woman. I mean, that was the whole thing of Raimondo, of why you vote for Hillary. And you remember that quote of there's a special place in hell for any woman that voted for Donald Trump. Yet I think it's Matt Brown. You know, his first elected a representative who's stepping forward is not only a progressive, but a woman. What do you make of the fact it's so quiet right now with the Paw Sox? I mean, they've gone from that big press conference to very, very quiet to, all we keep hearing is that it may come up at the end of the session, but the speaker's kind of still meeting with them. What are you hearing, or what do you make of the whole thing, Justin?
Well, the latest I've been hearing of the speaker is there's some indication he's generally positive, but he's holding fast to that we need to split the risk better for the taxpayer. So it's not as ringing as I would expect if it were about to, legislation were about to appear and be approved. It seems to me there are basically two possibilities. The Paw Sox, a few months ago, we remember, tried to target Mattiello's district and be a little bit more activistic in trying to get the public going. So there's a possibility that the speaker actually heard a message and so was persuaded somewhat, although I didn't quite hear the message, so I don't know what he might have heard if it was a populist push. Or maybe that push really didn't work out as well as the Paw Sox had hoped, and there just wasn't quite the support they were expecting, in which case the leverage has shifted against them, and they've got to be the sheepish ones there. So I'm not sure. I mean, recently, Go Local Prov was talking about how had a report that the Paw Sox have been kind of inflating their occupancy rates, and it's usually not a big deal when teams do that, especially in the minor league. But when you're using your people who are, your ticket sales as a reason to invest millions of dollars of public money, it becomes a little bit more important. Now, however accurate that report may have been, when you see pictures of an empty stadium going around on the internet as they try to get taxpayer subsidies for a new stadium, that's, I think, any public support that there was people start to question that. Why would we want to subsidize a stadium that's already empty? So I think they're facing a lot of headwinds, and I wouldn't be surprised if the silence is an indication that nobody's quite sure what they can do to make this saleable to the public.
Do you think, does it go on the ballot, or does it get voted on before the end of this session?
Well, the ballot at this point, I think, would be essentially a punt by the insiders. That would be an indication that they don't think they can do it.
To put it on the November ballot, you mean?
Right. So if they come up with a way they think they can, without outraging the public and just making all the special deals, you get the unions happy, you get the Paw Sox happy, and so on so forth, they'll do that. They'll just come up with a revenue bond of some kind. You know, it's just a matter of bringing in one of these quasi-publics. Even the Commerce Corp can do that kind of thing. And then you just have a revenue bond, and it's good. Or you just say your ticket sales. It's very, very easy to do if they have the political will. If they put it on the ballot, that's an indication that well, look, we'd kind of like to see this go through, but, you know, we don't have the cover, the political cover we need, so we'll let the people decide, which really is the outcome we ought to have. It ought to be a vote of the people. So that would be a positive thing, but I think it would be an indication that nobody's really optimistic about the support.
Of right now, the Republicans that are running, and again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Justin Katz. It's Political Monday with managing editor OceanStateCurrent.com. Of the three Republicans, how do you think the Fung campaign is doing? How do you think the Morgan campaign is doing? And how do you think the Ferosi campaign is doing?
Well, to start with the easy one, I haven't seen any indication that the Ferosi campaign is overcoming just the bad headlines, the oddness of his deciding to run in the first place.
Okay.
As he battles legal campaign. So I haven't seen any indication there. He's got some money to hire advisors and that sort of thing, and people to put out statements for him, and so that'll help him a bit. But so far, I think it's still a curiosity.
We actually don't know if they're volunteered or paid. I want to point that out. A lot of times these are volunteers, and then, hey, if I get elected, you get a job. But go ahead. Focus more on Fung and Morgan.
Yeah, I think Patricia Morgan's been doing a lot of work behind the scenes, meeting with constituencies, and she's popular among, say, anti-toll groups, and so they support her, and so she's building up that group a bit. I don't think that's enough to go mainstream. I think in general, the Fung campaign, they've got the most money. They're in the lead in polls, and just as a general practical consideration for voters, he's the mayor of a city. Pretty successfully by most metrics in the past 5-10 years, so that would make him an obvious argument to become the governor, from mayor to governor, whereas the case for Morgan isn't that strong. And I mean, you had mentioned earlier a female progressive supporting Matt Brown. When we looked at polls a few months ago, head-to-head polls with Fung versus Raimondo or Morgan versus Raimondo, Morgan actually did worse among women than Fung did. So that consideration doesn't seem like it's likely to help her any. So I don't think the state of play has changed all that much. But they're running decent campaigns. I'm just, you know, as we discuss things like this $4 million worth of notary publics swooping into Rhode Island,
yeah,
up to 4 million. As we discuss that sort of thing, it kind of makes you think, it makes me think as a conservative that maybe vicious primaries and trying to tear each other down is not really where we want to go right now for the good of the state. It's going to take a pretty unified message against the governor to kind of battle that kind of ability to just go out and produce, cultivate votes like you're gardening or something. So the sooner they can get through this phase of fighting each other, the better, I would say.
Before we let you go, Link Chafee initially said one of the reasons he was looking at the Senate race was because there were Sanders supporters that reached out to him and kind of gave him interest and so forth. Well, the Associated Press did a story of the weekend. Now we've learned it was not, certainly not Senator Sanders. It was two people that had been Bernie Sanders supporters. Two. That reached out to him, a 61-year-old cook and a 48-year-old real estate person. But yet Chafee did an interview with the Associated Press over the weekend that he said that should this go forward, and he certainly still gives the impression it's going forward, that this would be a brass knuckle type of campaign. What do you make of the whole thing, Justin?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that when you're a politician of Chafee's stature in Rhode Island, meaning people know who he is, he's with a senator, a mayor, a governor, it doesn't take much for you, if you're that sort of person who's going to come out swinging and do things as the governor, the former governor clearly is, running for president last time around, was pretty brazen. It doesn't take many people. It's two people to persuade you to send out some feelers, and then you can drop a bomb and see what kind of response you get. And it's fully in keeping with the character of Link Chafee as we've come to know him over the past 20 years. So that may be all there is to it. And it's going to depend, as we've been discussing, it'll depend if any additional support shows up, or if he's got some other reason that he wants to, whether vindictive or trying to build up some message or get some message out there, you know, maybe on behalf of the metric system, then he'll go forward and keep going with it. But the brass knuckle comment kind of makes you think there's some ill will there, and we all know that there was ill will between him and Raimondo. It even appeared in some of the disclosed emails between people related to 38 Studios.
Oh, yeah.
Just
big time.
So there's enough bad blood there that it bubbles up pretty much anywhere it possibly can. So it's possible he'll just charge right into it. And in a way, if he can draw some of the fire from the left on behalf of Senator Whitehouse, us in particular, then he'll even some playing field somewhere. That's another area where the Republicans have been kind of quiet lately. He was in the U.S. Senate race, so the Link-Chafee dynamic in all this might be keeping people on their toes, or it might just be keeping people thinking they've got a shot.
I just think, he has said that he's going to, poll it and so forth, but I find it's pretty amazing that you're not talking about major donors, you're not talking about former workers, you're not talking about some political leader. You're talking about two complete strangers basically contact him and try to, and that's enough to give him the green light to jump in on the race. I mean, for crying out loud, they could have been working for the Raimondo campaign, which is trying to get him out of the race for governor. But I just think that with everything he's been through, and I hear other stories of, I've heard from people that they've had meetings with people that try to recruit them to run for office. I know of someone who is aggressively being sought to run for mayor of Providence, and they went to a meeting at this person's home, and they were offering, there were like five or six real players there from the business community, and we're going to raise money for you and, free office and all this other stuff to really try to convince the person to do it. They decided not to do it. And I was just comparing that to, Chafee basically, it's amazing these days what gets him excited and he jumps at. He jumped at the fact that Mattiello said, hey, let's have lunch at the old canteen. He couldn't wait to brag, as if he'd gone on his first date of what he had, and I had the veal and we caught up on family. He was so excited about that. And then, now two strangers contact him that I obviously were Bernie Sanders people, so he immediately shifts out of the governor's race and boom, suddenly may run against White House. I mean, they talk about President Trump like kind of at different times sways back and forth. Chafee at this point just seems to me, I'll give you the final word, but just so starved for attention that he's willing to jump into a Democrat primary, even use the words, it's going to be brass knuckle against White House. Just because two people that seemingly have no power that we know of or any influence or any organization skills other than they're just Bernie Sanders people. And not only that he would even disclose that to the Associated Press, that this is the big wave. I mean, when I first heard that, I thought it was like Sanders himself behind the scenes. And someone, a high-level Democrat, said to me, wow, can you imagine Bernie Sanders comes into Rhode Island for a fundraiser for Chafee? But then when you find out who it really was, I mean, this... I'll let you give the final word, but it reminds me of that old story of the grandmother used to threaten her kids that when she died, if they weren't good, she wasn't going to leave them the Lincoln letter. And then when she finally died, and they thought it was going to be valuable, it was not a letter from Abraham Lincoln. It was a letter she had written Abraham Lincoln that she had never mailed. But that was the big mystery. What was your final word on that? I just couldn't believe. Talk about like the man behind it. There is no one behind the curtain.
Well, Lincoln Chafee is a puzzle. It makes me think of every time I hear people talk about how many emails they're getting on something, I always have to wonder because, I may not be that popular or that friendly of a persona, but I don't get tons and tons of emails. So I always wonder when people say that. So maybe it's true. Maybe everybody is just getting two or three and they think that's a lot. But it really makes me think of, because at this point, you almost have to write off Chafee to some kind of comedic,
yeah,
lighthearted addition to Rhode Island. And it makes me think of Rob Long, who's he's a former writer for the TV show Cheers, who writes a column for National Review, a conservative magazine. And it's usually like a TV show perspective of something, or of Bill Clinton doing something in some room and he's telling the story. I think we need to get some comedians out there writing those sort of fictions, you know, historical fiction type things about Lincoln Chafee and the story of how the two people got him into it and how they really, really represent the voice of the progressive people. I think that would at least give us all a good laugh.
Yeah. Folks, he is the managing editor for OceanStateGuard.com. He's Justin Katz. Justin, excellent as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Great. Thanks, John. I'll talk to you later.
All right, folks, there it is. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. I want to remind you about our friend Ryan. That's right. Ryan's Appliance Repair. Call him today. When your appliances, we like to say, your appliance is dying, just call Ryan. Ryan repairs on all makes and models of appliances, washers, dryers, dishwashers, stoves, refrigerators, microwaves, garbage disposals. Ryan's Appliance Repair will hook up natural gas and propane appliances. If you have an appliance that needs to be converted from natural gas to propane, they'll do that as well. They'll install dishwashers that maybe you recently purchased. Call Ryan's Appliance Repair today at 401-710-7096. Senior citizens discount. Owner owned and operated. Remember, the owner, Ryan, he's out on every job. And talk about a family business. His mom, Elizabeth, will gladly take your call. Call Ryan's Appliance Repair, 401-710-7096. Saturday appointments are available. All work is guaranteed for 90 days, parts and labor. Repairs on all makes and models of appliances, whether it's your washer, dryer, dishwasher, stove, refrigerator. When your appliance is dying, just call Ryan. Ryan's Appliance Repair, 401-710-7096. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Folks, phone lines are open to you. No more guests from now to the top of the hour. Just your phone calls. 766-1380. 401-766-1380 on the John DePietro Show.
It's been said that great partners can make a business great, which is why more companies look to Signature Commercial Banking from Bank RI. Because with flexible lending, premier commercial banking services, and a more personalized style of banking, it means that with Bank RI, your company has more than a great bank. It has a great commercial banking partner. Signature Commercial Banking, only from Bank RI. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Folks, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Remember, boy, the good weather finally has arrived. Take a ride and see our friends at Rhode Island's number one garden center. What a tremendous weekend they had, and good reason. People drive from all over for PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, voted Rhode Island's number one garden center, located 3688 Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. Family-run business for 35 years. It's Steve, it's Debbie, it's Junior. Call them at 295-4399. 295-4399. Flowers, trees, shrubs, full garden center. All locally grown, homegrown. Remember, buy local. And they're easy to get to right off of Route 4. They are right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. And diagonally across a landmark from Allie's Donuts, it's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Look for the magnificent outdoor display. They're open 7 days a week. The colors are incredible. And they're open until 5 o'clock tonight. Tree and shrub planting, irrigation systems, hardscapes, walks, and walkways, plus landscape construction, mulch delivery, installation, loom, mulch, screen loom, annuals, perennials, full line of landscape materials plus pickup and delivery. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, 3688 Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. Call them 295-4399 and look for their page on Facebook.
Joe Trillo is the true independent man for governor. As a 16-year state representative, he was a fighter for the taxpayers. He will stop welcoming illegal immigrants that are costing you $272 million a year.
Joe will untie the hands of our police and let them do their jobs. He will cut taxes and reduce regulations that are killing our business.
He will listen to our teachers on how we can improve education.
We need Joe Trillo for our governor.
Check out TrilloForGovernor.com. Paid for by the Trillo for Governor campaign.
Folks, remember, for the cleanest drinking water available, call Stephen Alice Water Filter Company, 401-294-2400.
2400, 401-294-2400, water filter company. Bottled water is not, it's an unregulated industry. Rhode Island and Massachusetts depend on water filter company. Have a water filter installed in your home. You'll notice the difference right away. What's the latest headline I was just looking at? Now they're exploring in Providence. Too much lead in the water. Too much lead. It's not your imagination. You know, there are, in, especially in Rhode Island, there are some communities that still get their tap water from wooden pipes or rusted out pipes. Instead, call Water Filter Company today. Have a water filter installed in your home. Think of the expense of buying bottled water. Instead, call Water Filter Company, 401-294-2400. Free consultation, a Rhode Island success story, family owned and operated since 1986. It's Water Filter Company, 401-294-2400. We had a water filter. I had one installed in our home. You notice the difference right away. Water Filter Company. Nothing more important. What does Tom Brady say? He drinks 25 glasses of water a day. Do you think he's drinking water that's contaminated or water that has lead or chlorine? No. He's drinking water out of a water filter, like Water Filter Company. 294-2400. 294, free consultation. Free 294-2400, Water Filter Company. All right, folks, and we're back on this Monday. Good afternoon, one and all. What a big day. Embassy in Jerusalem. 52 dead in Gaza. The president has kept his promise. President Trump said he would do it. Folks, don't you notice? Do you notice a shift now? In fact, that, you know, even Jimmy Kimmel was saying all this Trump bashing. I think it is backfiring. 766-1380. Let them continue to slam the president. Let them continue. Things are getting better. His approval ratings are up. Look at the situation in North Korea. Unemployment is down. We are reestablishing our policy, our international policy, our role in the world. In Israel, they are thrilled, big time. And as I've said, I've had the privilege. I spent 2 weeks in Israel. It is a beautiful, beautiful country. I wish a lot of you could visit it. You would love a trip. I landed in Tel Aviv. We traveled to Jerusalem. I traveled to Bethlehem. They took us to the Golan Heights. We went to the West Bank. I did not go to the Gaza Strip, but we spent, it was 2 weeks there. It was fantastic. It was fascinating, especially when you're in, you know, Jerusalem, when you're in Bethlehem, when you see where Christ gave the Sermon on the Mount, where I swam in the Dead Sea. It is absolutely beautiful. And as someone that was obviously, you know, like many of you, raised Roman Catholic, it is incredible to be in the area where Christ walked, where he was born, where he was nailed to the cross. It is incredible. And what was the problem in being there? The amount of terrorism from Hamas, from the Arabs, from the Palestinians. Israel is our ally. And President Trump, President Obama, that would not help Israel. President Obama, some of his team sometimes seem to almost hint at anti-Semitic remarks. President Trump made a promise to our ally of Israel, and he kept his promise today. Another monumental achievement, wouldn't you agree, in the Trump presidency. Folks, they can knock him all they want, but he keeps his word. And little by little, the people are behind him, and he's getting it done. You notice that? 766-1380. I'll tell you else, someone who's getting things done is our friend Sal with Metro PCS. Good afternoon, Sal.
You are, Janine. Good afternoon.
You know, I'm looking at the headline. Raimondo's $23.5 million gamble on sports betting pays off with the court ruling. You know, people don't have to bet on upgrading that maybe their cell phone's going to work properly, what have you. Instead, they could see you upgrade their cell phone, and what a difference it's going to make.
That's right, because this is no gamble. This is a sure bet, because right now, MetroPCS is so sure you're going to love their network, they're going to give you a $100 gift card just to try it. So right now, when you switch to MetroPCS, you're going to get 2 months of unlimited LTE data on your smartphone plus a $100 gift card. While the other guys just talk about the network, MetroPCS is going to give you $100 to try it as for 2 months and give you that peace of mind. So when you switch now, you're going to get a free smartphone from brands like Samsung, LG, and you're going to be on a network that covers 99% of the people in the United States, just like the big guys, just like AT&T, just like Verizon. You're going to try it. You're going to love it. You're going to have a peace of mind. This is definitely no gamble. I can assure you, you're going to love it. You switch a couple months back. I know you're happy about it. I know you're happy you made the switch. And a lot of other people can be like that, too, when you switch to MetroPCS.
Now, also, Sal, you know, over the weekend, we heard Governor Chafee talking about brass knuckles is what he's willing to bring in with Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. If the Chafee campaign, if they're going to be out there, they're going to need to be able to communicate. A lot of times, maybe a full staff would be out there with their cell phones in getting out the word with the Chafee campaign.
It's a great idea. We can get the whole campaign set up and switched over. We can even preload the metric app on there. He's going to do conversions on the fly. We can definitely help him out with that and put the metric conversion app on the phone so him and his crew can have that at their fingertips.
Now, there's a great story in the news, and Sal, I'm going to bring it up in just a moment, but I want you to tell people, number one, your different locations where they can stop in and take advantage and meet you and your staff, and also the best way to get a hold of you.
Absolutely. So the easiest, best way, first off, you can try out locations. You can try it at 989 Manhattan Avenue in Providence. That's right outside of, right down the street from Fruit Hill Avenue, down the street from Rhode Island College. 1503 Atwood Avenue in Johnson. That's right next to Town Hall in Johnson, right on the opposite side of the Burger King. You have 1852 Smith Street in North Providence, right outside of Centerdale. And then you have our newest location, 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston. That's where you came out and Mayor Fung came out, and you blessed the location, 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston. And your listeners can reach out to us by calling 302-401-332-5051-332-5051. And those are our locations. And another thing I want to touch on, too, we spoke about last week with this new hands-free that's going to be changing on June 1st. A lot of people have been coming into our locations wanting to get the Bluetooth headsets, and we've been actually selling out. I was talking to Anthony today in Johnson. People are coming in with this new law that's going to be coming into effect on June 1st. You cannot have your phone, in hand while driving. So you're going to need a Bluetooth device, whether it be a Bluetooth earphone or a FM transmitter speaker or just a wired headset. So people are reaching out to us. They are coming in. We actually did sell out today. We got to order some more. But again, if anybody has questions regarding that law change, call us, 332-5051.
Here's the story, Sal. Long Island cops reunite 14 ducklings with their mom using an app to lure them out of a storm drain. A Long Island cop cracked the case Sunday. This is the New York Daily. Mom of 14 ducks lost track of her flock. Mother's Day was going to unidentified mother duck around 9:20. 14 of her ducklings wandered into a storm drain in Bayshore. Officer Jack Ward lifted the storm gate, reached down, grabbed four ducklings. The rest wandered further into the drain out of reach. A third cop applied a high-tech policing technique to the solution. He downloaded a duck call app to his cell phone. 9 ducklings liked the sound enough to waddle back within the officer's grasp. That left one missing duckling, and they nabbed that one with a net. So in order to get the ducklings, they used an app that he downloaded from his cell phone.
It's amazing. Isn't that crazy? They say
that is incredible.
It's unbelievable. I mean, they're probably just, you know, I mean, how long did it say it took them to get them out of the drain?
It did not say that in the New York Daily News story, but it's still.
Time, you know, it's crazy. It's unbelievable to download an app and it got them out. So when they say there's an app for that, there truly is an app for that. There's an app for everything.
But if he didn't have the proper cell phone, he wouldn't have had the data that he could then download that app.
That's absolutely right, and that's where we come in. And when you switch to MetroPCS, you're going to get the 2 months free, the $100 gift card, a free smartphone, and then the Duck app if you need the Duck app, or the Metric app, whatever you need. We can help you download it.
I love that.
Help you make it easier for you. That's all pretty right. Crazy. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. No, it's a great story. Folks, there he is, our friend Sal from Metro PCS. Call him 332-5051. 332-5051. He's Sal with Metro PCS. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. How about, it was yesterday's Providence Journal. You know, I really like Alan Rosenberg is the Providence Journal executive editor. And he has started posting a regular column on Sundays. By the way, folks, 766-1380, 766-1380 is the phone number for the John DePietro Show. He has started posting on page 82 of the Sunday Providence Journal a column. I read it every Sunday. I think it's terrific. But they are moving away from web comments. And this was, when they first started doing this, you can't imagine. First, they had these people that would have these fake type aliases. There were people that would go on the Journal website. And as someone that would be in the news quite a bit, it was incredible how, at first, anyone could register under any type of name, and they would then post your comments. And the comments would be brutal. And people could post as many times as they wanted. And you had people that were using names like, Rocky Point or Captain Cook or Crunch or all these other things. Then they moved to Facebook, and then a lot of these people started realizing you could just come up with these fake Facebook names, and then they would post things. And again, as someone, no matter who you were, you mentioned in a story, and I remember a couple of years ago, they had, I went through these people who you have no idea who they are, and they're posting these outrageous, vicious comments. And I would tell friends and family, don't read the comments. My God, these people are like nuts and all this other stuff. Well, the Journal now, they're going to move away from that. And they say that there's no need for it. You can do it. And other people are doing it as well, saying, because a lot of times whenever there's a story posted, I have to admit, I do enjoy sometimes reading many of the comments. But you can read a lot of those comments on both, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter. So, Alan Rosenberg, we're moving away from web comments. It's always been a problem for newspapers because they publish a story and then all these people start coming out of the woodwork. And it's one thing when they moved to Facebook and then people had to register and then it really dipped down. And then all these other people realize, oh, I'll get it. I'll just come up with some fake persona, fake photo on Facebook. And then they just started posting that as well. So there's enough keyboard cowards out there. You don't need the comments section every time there's an article. I mean, it's ridiculous. I remember a couple of years ago, the Providence Journal ran two polls on me. This was December of 13. And one poll, 12,000 votes. And then the second poll had 10,000 or 11, 22,000 votes. When normally, when they were doing polls, there were like 2,000 votes was a lot. So now both of them, by the way, came out in my favor. 85-15, I think, was one. The other one was something like 82-18, something like that. But do I believe, I mean, who knows? There could have been some people that were always voting no and other people voting the other way. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by K's, located 1013 Cass Avenue in Woonsocket. You can call them at 762-9675. Whether it's lunch or dinner or maybe just a drink in the lounge, a great meal is waiting for you at K's. Folks, 766-1380, 766-1380. You can email me, john@depietro.com, john@depietro.com. I want to remind you about our friends at J.K. Hale Engineering. Now, they're saying this is going to be a very, very hot summer. Folks, very, very warm, humid summer. Don't take any chances. Call J.K. Hale Engineering today, serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. They are licensed in both Rhode Island and Massachusetts. It's J.K. Hale Engineering, 351-7600, 351-7600, J.K. Hale Engineering. They do it right the first time. Call them. Estimates are free. Financing is available for both residential and commercial. Call JKL Engineering, 401-351-7600. By request. Now, Chafee is quoted saying that if he runs for Senate in a primary against Sheldon Whitehouse, he said it'll be a brass knuckles affair. Folks, once again, just for sheer entertainment purposes, we want Chafee to come back.
So you walked away because you thought that you just couldn't win. And we said goodbye. It's time to get you off of our mind. Now there's someone new sitting in the throne that you used to sit in. But it seems like all we got's the blind leading the blind.
This is Billy Mitchell.
Chafee, come back.
Please, folks, run.
Any kind of fool could see we were wrong. And we're much worse off without you.
Be a great primary.
Chafee, come back. You can have your holiday dream.
You can.
It ain't nothing like what these out-of-town kids are up to.
Why not? Can't do any worse.
We had the Paw Sox deal, 195 land and the roadworks mess. We went from truck toll gantries to a boulevard on the 610. We got a logo and a slogan that was far from being either cool or warm.
He says he may run.
Now we're waiting for our tax refunds. Here we go again.
Please.
Chafee, come back.
Just run against Sheldon.
How bad can it possibly be? We can go metric if that's what makes you happy.
Fine. Or go to Sal and go metric.
Chafee, come back. And let me tell you, pal, you were harmless, but this new crowd drives us batty. Can we put it all together? Is there a chance you'll make the scene? So tired of all these plans and schemes. Nothing left for us but some Yaleys and a queen. Chafee, come back. Any kind of fool could see we were wrong, and we're much worse off without you.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Chafee, come back.
For the missing link.
You can have your holiday tree. We were wrong, and we're much worse off without you.
It's John DePietro. This is Billy Mitchell.
We were wrong, and we're much worse off.
Remember, you can email me, john@depietro.com. Find me on Facebook and Twitter at John DePietro
Show. Let's
join
the rest of the world.
And tomorrow on the program, we'll have Jeff Deal.
It doesn't
he is
take
running
Republican.
Is
hot.
Senate Massachusetts.
Only Myanmar.
Liberia, against Elizabeth Warren.
The United States.
Plus.
Metric, and
we'll have a gift certificate
economy
to give away to the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. It's John DePietro. Listen, enjoy the rest of this Monday. Stay tuned. The John Dion Show is next. I am back tomorrow at 11. Right here, remember, 11 to 2 on AM 1380 and 99.9 FM. It's the John DePietro Show, WNRI.
WNRI, Woonsocket.
WNRI.